This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
714, Susana Mendoza, the state comptroller, at 740. Illinois Secretary of Education Beth Purvis is on yesterday. Said the Mendoza's office has funds they haven't released, which could be crucial for some of the poorer school districts and special needs kids and transportation and other costs. She says that's flat wrong, and she'll be on to explain why, amongst other things, in about 20 minutes or so. She was on with Roe yesterday, and here's a clip.
Where to start, Roe? Well, I can just tell you that, look, it's not correct. When it comes to her knowledge of school funding, you know, it's pretty clear that Governor Rauner's superstar education secretary, Dr. Purvis, I think needs to repeat kindergarten. Look, I'd love to be able to make the quarter three and the quarter four categorical school payments, but unfortunately, the controller cannot pay bills when the state's bank account is nearly empty, right? This is just common sense. It's not playing politics. It's more of an acknowledgement, frankly, that we can't write checks that can't be cashed. And just to give you an idea of where we're at today, our bank account has $254 million in it. That's it. The bill backlog that is, you know, a result of Governor Rauner not having passed a budget for the last 2 years, he has been deficit spending under his administration at the tune of, just over the last 12 months, $600 million a month. So, you know, we have a $15 billion backlog that I've been able to pay some of that down now with some of these Medicaid dollars. I'm doing my best, but it's still almost $15 billion. And we only have $254 million in the account. There's two categorical payments that still have to be made. Both of them together total about $800 million plus. Mm-hmm. And we can't divide them up into like 10 or 20 smaller payments. They're two payments of $429 million each. I only have $254 million in the account. Just do the math. It's impossible to pay them, no matter how much I would love to. So it's, again, more misinformation, which is the status quo for this administration.
That's yesterday from Roe Show. I will ask her about that. I will also ask her about the constant negativity. And is that her role as comptroller? What does she say about the Democrats and their piece of the story in the mess that the state is in? But primarily, I want to give her a chance to explain why that's wrong beyond what you just heard, and if there's a possibility to move any other monies around and make those Q3, Q4 payments. It does get a little deep in the weeds, and what it comes down to is this notion that comes out of Springfield that Mike Madigan is leading an effort to create a crisis where teachers and students and parents won't know if the schools are going to open on time, and therefore they will get the school funding that they want.
Right, and there are deadlines involved with this, too. They have to have it. Ron wanted it done by July 31st. That's not going to happen. But they absolutely have to have their request in by August 10th, because that's when all the money is approved.
And is it going to get pushed to the last minute again?
Right.
And, of course, who suffers in that? The people that are most vulnerable, and that's the kids and the parents and everything else. All right, Mary, do the traffic, and then I'm going to get to Adam Angieski, who is trying to keep an eye on all of Illinois' mess, along with other states around the country. And we'll try to explain some of it, because you're not going to believe what some of the people around the states are making. No wonder we're broke. It is 7:21. Adam Angieski joins us now. Appreciate your patience, Adam. And Susana Mendoza coming up in a little bit on why there's no money left in Illinois and why it's all Rauner's fault. Good morning, Adam.
Well, hi, Steve. Thank you very much for your interest in our work. Happy to be on the program.
Yeah, I mentioned what your website is.
So it's openthebooks.com, and at openthebooks.com, our honorary chairman is former U.S. Senator Dr. Tom Coburn. We've been successful at the local, state, and federal levels capturing $4 billion individual expenditures from government at all levels.
And the point of Open the Books is around the country, state governments need to be more transparent, and not in the BS cliched political way, but literally more transparent on how they're spending the tax dollars that you're sending in. And of course, you know, here in Illinois, Adam, the biggest problem we have is we're being asked to give more money to the most irresponsible state government in the country.
Well, that's right. Our mission is every dime online in real time. We want to capture and post so citizens can hold their government accountable for tax and spend decisions. And as you know, Steve, our number one manufactured product in Illinois is corruption. And if anything happens for the good of the people on public policy and politics, it's completely by accident.
It would be good if there was an app for that, you know, as opposed to the corruption factory that we're apparently living in.
Well, we actually have an app for that. It's been profiled on the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal twice since 2013, and everybody can download. It's free for Apple and Android, the Open the Books app. We've got about 80,000 downloads of it, and everything we talk about today in terms of pay and out-of-control pay, everybody can see it all within their zip code or any zip code in Illinois just by downloading our free Open the Books app.
63,000 Illinois public employees earn more than $100,000 a year. I want you to let that sink in now. 63,000 Illinois employees have six-figure or better salaries in a state that's broke. How do you explain that?
Well, I think it's the biggest issue affecting reform on every issue at every level of government, right? I mean, excessive pay and pensions, this issue affects the delivery of education and health and human services and public safety and police and fire, everything it affects. The instances of waste in the system are, in Illinois, I think are legendary. We expose it all in this Forbes column.
The Park Forest School District Superintendent. Look, being a school superintendent has got to be one of your more difficult jobs. I grant you that. It's got to be extremely difficult. But anybody that gets into education with the idea of being, well, this is how I'm going to get rich, come to Illinois. Because the Park Forest School District Superintendent makes almost $400,000 a year. The Calumet City School District Super makes almost $400,000 a year. As does the Indian Springs School District Super as well. There's 10,676 rank-and-file workers and managers in Chicago that work in or around or for Mayor Emanuel who are well over six figures. And I think we all know that the aldermen have gotten rich for years.
Yes.
And by the way, that's the stuff we know they make.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also want to point out a specific instance that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. But down in Ford Heights, and this is one of the most economically depressed areas in the state, and if you live in Ford Heights, 96% of the students qualify for public aid. Only 19% of the students tested as ready for the next level on the standardized test. But what is their superintendent, Gregory Jackson's salary? $325,000.
It's ridiculous.
This is a moral outrage.
Just absolutely ridiculous. And they're protected. All of these salaries are protected. And then there's pension arguments to be made on the back end of it as well.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we at OpenTheBooks.com, we showed that there are 30,000 Illinois educators that have an income of over $30,000. But roughly only 20,000 of them are actually currently employed. The rest are retired on six-figure pensions.
Adam, this is concerning as well. The top 10 village managers make an excess of $230,000 apiece. How is that possible when so many, especially I know in the south suburbs and in Will County and as you get further downstate, they're part-time jobs as well? Or the mayor or the village manager has a real job, if
there's
you
only
will.
So much work.
Exactly.
Right? I mean,
it used to be almost,
are little towns.
It used to be almost like a stipend, right? Like 20 grand or whatever it would be. Now it's well over six figures.
That's right. So we point out that there are village and city managers and administrators across the state, 84 of them, that out-earn every governor of the 50 states at $180,000. They out-earn what would be the salary of Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner if he was taking a salary. Specifically, Michael Ellis in Grays Lake. Grays Lake was just in the national news because of the flooding.
Right.
It's a population of 20,000 people, and Michael Ellis last year made $265,000 in Grays Lake.
Yeah, it's the numbers are insane. $250,000 plus for Kevin Bowens in Libertyville, and on and on and on. And for you people who live in these small towns, I assume you know how much your city managers are making, but what are you paying them that amount of money for?
And specifically, you know, the superintendents managing the school districts, we found that 4 out of 5 of the most highly compensated Illinois educators were in the south suburbs, not even the North Shore. So that's, you know, in line with the Ford Heights and in line with the Park Forest superintendent. The Park Forest superintendent, Joyce Carmine, she actually has a quadruple in pay. Up to $400,000 over, since the year 2000.
It's just double, triple, quadruple dipping.
I think that's why, and Adam, you probably found this too, the mayor of Orland Park's salary would have, I think, quintupled had he won, and then he was defeated. Longtime mayor of Orland Park, Dan McLaughlin, was defeated last year because of that. I guess my question to you is, can this be changed? Can you go back and basically say, all right, here's going to be the new mayor's salary?
Well, I feel bad for Rahm. Rahm's unbelievably underpaid.
Oh,
Rahm's
yeah.
making, what, a little north of 200 grand? He had to go manage a little town up north.
But how difficult is it for some of these smaller towns and villages to say, you know what, we're just going to take the money away now?
Well, I think it certainly can be done. I think it starts with people being engaged at the local level. This is an outrage.
Our engaged and enraged.
Absolutely. They need to use our data, come to openthebooks.com, use our data, start asking questions, demand answers, network your friends and family into those public meetings, and hold the local politicians accountable for their tax and spend decisions. I mean, specifically in the city of Chicago, we found Rahm Emanuel, city of Chicago, so mismanaged that last year the city paid out $283 million in overtime, and that included 1,000 employees that received over $40,000 apiece in overtime.
Think about that. These are city employees, 1,000 or more, who made 40 grand just in overtime, each of them.
So you've got deputy police chiefs. And look, the police and fire in the city of Chicago, they are overwhelmed by the amount of by the sheer amount of work they have to do. So I don't blame the police and fire. I blame the people running these systems, Rahm Emanuel, the commissioner, Eddie Johnson. Eddie Johnson was out-earned by a deputy police chief because the deputy made $146,000 in overtime on top of his $94,000 salary.
And if you're not managing overtime, what are you doing? That should be part of your job as being a good manager of any business. You manage the costs.
Just don't have enough rank-and-file employees on the payroll. I mean, when you're paying out $150,000 of OT, there's something wrong. Look, we've got a police communications operator, and she pulled down...
What is that, like a dispatcher?
We believe it is, yes.
And how much did she make?
$121,000 in OT.
It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
She made almost $200,000 last year total.
It's all on your website. Again, openthebooks.com, right?
It is.
We need to spend more time with this, Adam. We need you to come in and go over some of this stuff live with us when possible. But I want people to go to the website, openthebooks.com, poke around, because knowledge is power. And the more you know, the more questions you'll ask, and the better of a citizen you're going to be when you go vote.
And I also want to point out, we're up at Forbes. Our piece at Forbes has gotten almost 250,000 views. Yep. Just Google Forbes, Adam, Illinois.
I appreciate your time, Adam. Thank you very much.